Good morning, church family. There are two things that I would like to just highlight before we get going in the message this morning. The first is the week of prayer. Every year as a fellowship, we have two special weeks that we set aside to have prayer every morning together for those of us who are able to make it from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning. And this is always a highlight of our church calendar. And so I do want to encourage you. You may not be able to come to all of the prayer meetings this week. You may be only able to come to one or two or three. That's all right. We would love to have you. Our week of prayer is always well attended, and we appreciate the commitment of our people in prayer. This is the powerhouse of God's church. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for those of us who are able to join in prayer to meet on Monday through to Friday from 8 to 9 at Butt and Margaret Henricks' home. If you need any help with details, then please don't hesitate to let us know. The other big thing is, as Emil mentioned, we're calling all the men of the church to gather for an overnight retreat that we're going to have in Simonstown at the Rotary campsite. And we're hoping to gather 30 of our men for this weekend on the 7th and 8th of September. And so we're going to have a grand time together as men of the church. We're going to share together, build into each other's lives. And on the Saturday, we will have two special messages of input into our lives. So men will have the details next Sunday with an application form, but we want you please to reserve those dates. Now if you have a Bible with you, please turn to the end of the letter to the Hebrews. As we're closing out our messages in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, we have been looking at the exhortations, seven of them, that the writer gives as he closes out his letter to this predominantly Jewish congregation. And two Sundays ago, when I was with you, we started a little trilogy of sermons, three sermons on the whole question of leadership in the Christian church. And this was initiated by what the writer says to us in verses 7 and 17 of Hebrews chapter 13, where he says in verse 7, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And then in verse 17 he says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." And so two Sunday mornings ago, if you were with us, we began this little series of three that we'll continue this morning. And we spoke about leading the Jesus way. And I highlighted seven points that I'll just repeat to you as we get going this morning. We mentioned that it is God himself who chooses and gifts his leaders. Then we mentioned that we are called to function, not position or status or title, and that all God's children are gifted for ministry. And then it is God's gifting that defines our service in the local church, in the body of Christ. We are to operate within our gifting. And we saw that in Romans 12, the Apostle Paul lists several giftings and how those giftings are to operate in the church. And he mentions the Romans 12:8 gift of leadership, showing that those who have been gifted by God to lead his church must be free to do so. And then we said, character is primary, task is secondary. Then we made the point that our role model and example for leadership, as for all ministry, is the Lord Jesus himself. And then we closed out our first message on leadership leading the Jesus way by saying the source of all effective ministry in the body of Christ is God the Holy Spirit. Those are seven very important points. It is God Himself who does the gifting in the members of His body. We're called to function, not to office or position. All of God's children are gifted for ministry to the Lord, ministry to the body, ministry to the world. It is God's gifting that defines our service in the church. Character is primary, task is secondary. Our role model and example for all ministry is Jesus, and the source of all effective ministry is the Holy Spirit of God. Now this morning, as we share the second part of this three-part series on leadership, which we've entitled Leading the Jesus Way, let me remind you that each of the four Gospels teaches us a lot about Jesus' leadership. I don't know if you've ever studied that, but if you haven't, it's worth studying. To examine how Jesus calls the 12 disciples to Him, how He spends 3 years of quality time with them, coaching, teaching, training, mentoring, sending them out, holding them accountable, going over their performance, honing their skills, until He can depart the scene, ascend back to His Father, and know that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, these whom He has led well for 3 to 3.5 years will be able to cope with not only the birth of the body of Christ on earth, but with the initiation of the global mission of the body of Christ on earth. Now, I think you will agree that's some kind of leadership. That Jesus can spend 3, 3.5 years with a small group of men and entrust to them the future of the ministry of the kingdom of God. In all New Testament leadership, the goal is toward the redemptive ministry of the world. And so in seeking to lift everything we can learn about Jesus' way of leadership in the Gospels, and applying the gift and ministry of leadership in the body of Christ, the church today, I ask you to follow me now as I highlight some more of what I believe are the characteristics of leading the Jesus way as we find them in the New Testament. And first, and you have the outline, and I would encourage you to fill in a few notes on your outline as we go along. Number one, Jesus-style leaders model Christ-like servanthood. Jesus-style leaders model Christ-like servanthood. Jesus said, "I am among you as one who serves." Being eternally God, He emptied Himself, became a man, took upon Himself the form of a servant. How different the ways of the world would have been. He washed the feet of His disciples and set an example that we should all follow. He said, Gentile leaders lord it over people. Not so you, not so you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Number one. Jesus-style leaders model Christ-like servanthood. Number two, they value people above possessions and positions. The world in which we live sadly uses people to achieve wealth and status. Jesus used all His resources to reach people in their temporal and eternal well-being. When you lead the Jesus way, you don't use people to bolster your position. You position yourself to serve people at the point of their need. Christian leaders who use people instead of serving people, ministering to and blessing people out of a heart of compassion, are a shame on the church. And believe you me, sadly there are leaders like that, who use people instead of minister to people and lead them the Jesus way. What an example the Apostle Paul gives us when he writes to the Christians at Corinth and says, I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and spend myself as well. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Jesus star leaders value people above ministry, status, or anything else this world can offer. Thirdly, they understand that ministry is done out of relationships. Ministry is done out of relationships. Leaders understand that. Programs, seminars, conferences, DVD courses, and office work come second. Effective leadership is relational, highly relational. Jesus' primary concern was always that his followers grew in unity, that they shared life together at deeper and deeper levels, that they became one. Jesus-style leaders are highly relational. They never take people down. They build people up by building into their lives. They're not theoretical. They're relational and practical. They reinforce the learning experience of their followers, providing, like Jesus, a relational atmosphere that is enjoyable and conducive to growth. Those who are given the Romans 12:8 gift of leadership in the body of Christ are enjoyable people to be around. They provide an atmosphere that is conducive to growth. Number four, they understand potential. They understand the potency that resides in the potential of every member of the body of Christ. And they are motivated by a clear vision to help people become all that God destined for them to be. Jesus hadn't been long with Simon the fisherman when he saw his potential and had a clear vision of who he could become if he was led properly. He said, so you are Simon, the son of John. You will become Peter, a rock. In Simon of the Shifting Sands, Jesus already envisioned Peter the rock, who would be a key factor in building his church when he ascended back to the Father and Pentecost was fulfilled. Leaders understand potential. Leaders deal with potential. They deal in potential terms. They don't just see a seed, they see an orchard. God saw in the fear-filled Gideon, there pressing out his wheat in a wine press because he was so scared of being seen by the Gibeonite hordes. God saw in the fear-filled Gideon what Gideon had never dreamed possible. The potential to be a valiant leader and to lead God's people from victory to victory. Leaders develop the potential of their followers. So they're constantly implanting the vision of a preferred future in the lives of their people. They're constantly implanting the vision of a preferred future in the lives of their people. They followed Jesus' example They invest in people and influence their destiny by doing what Jesus did. They get the idea. If you've got space on your notes, put idea vertically. I-D-E-A. I stands for instruct. Leaders instruct. D stands for demonstrate. Leaders show the way and demonstrate how it's done. E stands for empower. Leaders empower their followers by giving them the opportunity to serve and coaching them as they serve so that their potential can be developed. And A stands for accountability. They keep their followers accountable. They keep them in check. For you do not do what is expected. You do better what is inspected. Amen? So that's leadership. And that's how Jesus led his people. Do you get the idea? Instruct, then demonstrate, then empower, then hold accountable. Number 5, leaders develop sons, not slaves. Jesus-style leaders are not despots who hold sway over a bunch of dependents. They're not bosses who treat their followers like a bunch of cringing beggars. They're not masters who seek only servitude from their slaves. When you lead the Jesus way, you develop children, not slaves. You develop children of their Heavenly Father who see themselves as heirs of God and as joint heirs with Christ, as those who have been raised up with Christ and made to sit with Him in heavenly places. You see your followers as those who are blessed in Christ with every blessing of the Spirit. You see in your followers those whom God has given everything for life and for godliness. And so you develop sons, you develop heirs, you develop a royal family who one day are going to reign with Christ forever and ever, who will inherit the kingdom of their Savior and their Lord. Leaders develop a royal family, not 9-to-5 employees. They develop free and victorious sons, not slaves of a hard taskmaster. They fan the love of God into a flame in the family of God. Their enthusiasm for the success of their followers is contagious. If you want to know how good a leader you are, simply look behind you and see who's following. If you want to know how good a leader you are, see what you leave behind when you end your life on earth. Leaders develop sons, not slaves. And then 6thly, they're passionate and intentional. Leaders are never satisfied with the status quo. Don't expect me to ever be satisfied with the status quo. They daily strive for change, first in themselves, then in their followers. They're passionate people. They're optimistic. They're faith-filled. They're intentional. They're in labor to give birth to leaders like Jesus. That's what drives them. They're passionate about producing leaders, not just followers. They are, number 7, they are gentle but bold. Gentle but bold. Like Jesus, they display a strength that is under control. They're not brash. They're not authoritarian. They're not cocky. But they are bold. Bold enough to remove sacred cows. Bold enough to remove unhelpful traditions in the church. Bold enough to remove unbiblical practices. bold enough to confront unbiblical, unchristlike attitudes. They are approachable, they are teachable, they are vulnerable, but they're not a walkover. They will confront hypocrisy. They will confront compromise. They will confront spineless mediocrity. They will confront political correctness that is taking the place of biblical correctness. They will confront compromised standards. They will confront unbiblical behavior. They will confront immoral practices. They are gentle but bold. They refuse to turn a blind eye to issues of righteousness and justice. They want to see the church impacting the community, bringing transformation to society, being salt and light, like our team is at Happy Valley, like our missionaries are that we pray for every day out on the field, like the Donaldsons in the prison ministry. They're gentle but bold. And then finally, they build teams. They build teams. They're passionate about always building teams. Jesus had a team of 12. He spent time with them all. He set the pattern for an effectively manageable number. He had an inner circle of 3, Peter, James, and John. He facilitated their growth by coaching them, mentoring them, keeping them accountable. He was very clear on his goals, but also very compassionate and very forgiving. He built his teams. Leaders build teams. What a joy it was in the church that I had the privilege of pastoring in Metheridge to build a leadership team of elders to set the doctrine and the direction and the discipline of the local church, to build a team of deacons who could serve the church and take care of all the administrative matters of the church, to build a local leadership team for local missions, and to build a distant leadership team for our distant missionaries whom we sent out and support, to build young adult leadership teams, to build a youth leadership team, to build children's leadership teams. We had over 70 on that team, helping in children's ministries. Do you get the idea? Leaders are passionate about building teams. They gather other leaders around them, and they build, and they build. You see, leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. Leadership is influence. It is God-given influence. And Jesus-style leaders spend quality time with those they're influencing. They constantly interact with other leaders. They are never lone rangers. Be scared of lone rangers. Be fearful of Christian gurus. Leadership in the body of Christ is always plural. It's always group. It's always team. Jesus-style leaders develop people's strengths. They don't major on people's weaknesses. They develop people's strengths, and the weaknesses take care of themselves. They oversee and they protect, but they're never overbearing and demanding. They're fair, and they're fun to be with. Jesus' disciples had the best times of their life with their Master and their Lord. The Christian leader's purpose is to get people onto God's agenda for their lives. Amen? If you forget everything else, remember that. The Christian leader's purpose is to get people onto God's agenda for their lives. That's Christian leadership. They do it by loving people, by loving God, by making disciples, by leading where God has placed them. These, beloved, are some of the primary characteristics of Jesus-style leadership. They model Christ-like servanthood. They value people above possessions and positions. They understand that ministry is done out of relationships. They understand potential and are motivated by a clear vision. They develop sons, not slaves. They're passionate and intentional. They are gentle but bold. They build teams. They are always building leaders around them. Few things give them greater joy than to see leaders leading well, leading like Jesus, and multiplying leadership within the body of Christ. So here we are, and this is what the Bible says. That's why we preach it. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Shall we pray? Father, please help me to be a better leader. And thank you for the leaders that you've given us in this local body. And we pray for each one of them. And as we move through this year and towards our time of elections in September, when we elect people to leadership once again, we pray that we may be guided by these biblical principles and that you would help us, dear Lord, to be able to be in the spirit and not in the flesh when we appoint people within the body to lead. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for the wider body of Christ throughout this valley and this peninsula and through this nation. And we pray today that you would wonderfully bless your church with Jesus-style leaders. We pray for every congregation in Fishhook, in Simonstown, in the Western Cape, and through this nation we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would wonderfully bless every congregation with Romans 12:8 gifted people who will be able to work with others, to build leaders who will build leaders, to oversee and guide the body of Christ, to protect your people from wolves in sheep's clothing, and to lead your people in the ways of discipleship and global evangelism. And so we thank you, Father, because every one of us is deeply aware of the fact that whether we're talking about governments, whether we're talking about businesses, or whether we're talking about churches, to a very large extent, everything stands or falls on the quality of leadership. And so we pray, raise up Jesus-style leaders to the glory of your name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.